Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 20th of March, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Richard's continuing our series looking at the road to the cross with how Jesus is anointed with glory. The reading is John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. So we'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church this morning. It's lovely to welcome you all here on this glorious sunny day. Just to say, I've been asked to tell you, if you collect your giving envelopes, you know what I mean, for gift aid, they're available to collect at the back in the foyer after the service. But let's spend a moment now in stillness as we come to worship our God and come to remember those who are suffering so much in Ukraine and for those who are suffering from COVID at the minute. We seem to know so many who are. So let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the way in which you are faithful God. Father, and we lift up those who are in our hearts, those who are suffering and ill. Father, be with them, we pray. Father, help us to focus on you. Amen. And I think Paul has a few notices.
Good morning, church family. It's lovely to be with you this morning. I've just got a couple of notices, very small ones, as they say. Mark and Sally are missing this morning because they have, in the week, they contacted COVID. Therefore, they're not here today. That means if you're in the older group, and ordinarily would go through to your group in the hall, you have the absolute pleasure of listening to Richard this morning. So please stay, because actually, because of that, you're going to hear what this amazing man of God says to us all this morning. Please, please stay. Secondly, to say in our notices, it talks about this service celebrating Philip Saywell's life will be held here on Wednesday, the 23rd. In the notices, it says 2 p.m. In actual fact, the service starts at 3 p.m. It was my fault in sending the wrong thing through. So it's not 2 o'clock, it is 3 o'clock. And the family have invited us all to share refreshments after the service. And then lastly but not leastly, I know a couple of you already asked me who he is. So we decided just to be really honest. Richard's being assessed this morning by his tutor. Hi Tim, wherever you are, lovely to have you with us. Hi Tim. And lovely to have you too with us too, Rachel, who grew up in Minehead. So you have some strong association with this town. Lovely to have you guys with us. And I asked the rest of the church, because Richard's being assessed, simply behave yourself. Is that okay? But also, it's lovely that we can share some good family news at time. And I've a slide to show you what I mean. Richard, this week, has made headlines. Hopefully you'll be able to see what I mean in a minute on the screen. If not, I'll read the report. There you go. You see? Those of you that don't know, Richard plays for Minehead Seconds. And as you see, quote unquote, his ordination has happened. The Rev bags 4 tries and seconds run riot. And those were your first 4 tries ever, Richard, as I understand it. Moreover, just to say that it wasn't a fluke, it says this: special mention must go to man of the match Richard Hall, the Rev, for his 4 tries. It should be noted that Richard only started playing this year, and in fact these were his first tries ever scored. So to get 4 in one game is something extra special. Keep being known as the Rev, Richard, and keep witnessing to our amazing Lord as you play rugby. Friends, we're going to come and worship the Lord.
Let's come and worship. Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Father, that you are the creator of all. Father, help us to focus on you this morning and praise you and worship you and glorify your name. Father, we want to honor and adore you. Amen. As you already know, Mark isn't with us this morning, so you get me instead. I'm not sure if that's a bonus or not, but we're continuing on in our exploration of the journey to the cross and the journey Jesus makes from the mountain where he's transformed to the events of Easter week and all that goes on. So I've got a question for you this morning, and it's probably, for some of the older members of you, does anyone have an engagement ring? More importantly, probably for this point, do you trust me with it? No, that's reassuring, isn't it? Could someone lend me an engagement ring, please? Thanks, Daniel. There you go, look at this. See? That's trust, isn't it? It's like when I got left with my brother's wedding ring. That's a brave brother. So on this are some diamonds. Oh. There we go. Oh, we all right? There we go. There we go. So what do diamonds look like? Can anyone tell me? Sparkly. They are very sparkly, aren't they? Anyone else? Clear? So, can anyone tell me where diamonds come from? Coal. Yes, thank you. Yes, I haven't primed you, have I? So, can we all imagine what coal looks like? If I owned a coal fire, you might have got a lump of coal, but no, I don't. So, what does coal look like? Anyone? Yes, well, it's black, isn't it? Yeah. A big black rock, it is. Yeah, that sums it up, doesn't it? It's very dirty as well, if you ever touch it, you'll get covered in coal dust. So isn't it amazing that these diamonds can appear from that coal? It doesn't just happen, does it? If you go and try and make a diamond out of coal, you'll have a lot of effort to put in. It takes thousands of degrees of heat and lots of pressure. It's a time of change and transformation. And it takes time. Most of the diamonds in the world were created millions of years ago. But over time, it changes to become a sparkly and very expensive thing. And the same is true of us. We start off as a lump of coal, or choose an alternative if you wish. But over time, God turns us to be more and more like Jesus. More and more sparkly and clean and even possibly beautiful. So we change over time and we're made to be beautiful. That's me. I'm going to stop talking. And I think we're singing again, are we?
No, we're going to. The children are going to. We're going to have some prayers.
Prayers, there we go.
So I think the children are leaving as well, actually. So let's pray for the children as they leave the room, go to their classes. Off you. Who's the leader? Okay. Follow the Pied Piper. So Luke and Rebecca is going to lead the way. Let's pray for our youngsters as they go. Father, I want to thank you for our children. Thank you, Lord, for their energy and their inquiring minds, and we ask, Lord, this morning that you will speak to them and be with their teachers as well. Lord, that the truths that they teach will sink into their hearts and stay with them for the rest of their lives. Father, we pray. Amen. I'm going to lead you now in a few prayers of intercession. And it seems to me that all of us, as Richard started, or Paul started this, Richard started service about praying for the situation in Ukraine. That's what's heavy on our hearts. So we're going to start our prayers this morning about the Ukraine situation before we go on to a few other things as well. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the outpouring of welcome and love that this country and other European countries have shown to millions of refugees. Thank you, Lord, for the way that we see on our news every day at the moment, hundreds of people opening their homes up in this country. And we lift to you this morning the logistics of matching open homes with those seeking refuge. Lord, will you please find ways, show us ways of speeding up this process, that these people who are of nowhere to be at the moment, Lord, will find a place of warmth and security. And Lord, we ask you to do it quickly. Father, we pray against those people who are seeking to traffic children and take advantage of this situation at this time. Lord, we are appalled, and Lord, we name trafficking as an evil, and Lord, we pray against that this morning. Lord, will you just stop people, we pray, in their tracks as they seek to take advantage, particularly of children at this time. We thank you for the tremendous work that the Bible Society and Tear Fund and BMS World Mission, Barnabas Fund, and all the various other charities that are close to the hearts of people in this room this morning. Lord, we could spend all morning recounting and telling stories of what these charities are doing out in Ukraine. And Lord, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for the tremendous work that is being done at this time. And Lord, we just ask that you will continue to strengthen those who are working, those who are volunteering for charities. Lord, the people who are giving up their careers or certainly taking several weeks out of their careers to help. For those who have perhaps driven for miles, Lord, for those who have gone without sleep, Lord, we ask that you will strengthen them at this time of self-sacrifice. At this moment, it is Sunday lunchtime in Kyiv, Zaporizhia, and other threatened cities in the east of Ukraine. Lord, there will be groups now meeting together to pray and worship. Lord, may our koinonia, may our fellowship, may, Lord, you be working in our spirits now as we reach out in our hearts to these our brothers and sisters who are hiding in shelters and gathering together to pray. Lord, will you fill our hearts with the weight of the burden that rests on their shoulders? And Lord, may our prayers in some way touch them. And may by your Spirit, may they feel encouraged this morning as we reach out to them. Lord, for Mariupol especially, 80% of its buildings being damaged. Lord, we pray now for the people that are still trapped in a theatre basement without food and water. We pray for the families of the 847 civilians who have been killed in this city. And we pray, Lord, especially for the rescue efforts of the firefighters, the medics, and those trying to defend this once great and beautiful city that now lies in ruins. Lord, be with them. Lord, for the city of Mykolaiv, where 200 soldiers were killed at an army base yesterday. Lord, we ask for your protection. And Lord, as Putin's armies are regrouping and finding extra firepower, Lord, we pray for the soldiers who are caught in this, who do not necessarily even want to get engaged in this war. And Lord, with the same sort of sentiments expressed by King David in the Psalms, Lord, may
Lord, the soldiers who grow weary, Lord, may their machinery fail. May, Lord, the tools of those who want to conquer this land unjustly, Lord, may they fail. Lord, because that's basically what King David says, and Lord, we are so bold as to pray along those same sort of lines. Lord, because we want to see an end to this. We want to see an end to this unjust war. And Lord, the terrible stalemate this could turn into as the weeks roll by. Lord, we pray against that. And we ask, Lord, for a settlement. And we ask, Lord, that there may be some sort of golden bridge that Putin feels able to cross and return back to Russia. Lord, may there be an end to this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, finally, we want to pray for the P&O company, Lord, that has sacked 800 workers. Lord, this just sounds so wrong. And we just want to pray for their families. Pray, Lord, for that gentleman I saw on TV only yesterday who was only 18 months off retirement. And for others like him. Lord, will you please intervene in the situation and cause this country, this company to cease sense. And Lord, that safety standards will be maintained high and people who have given their lives for working for them will be treated with loyalty. And for ourselves, Lord, we pray you'll help us in this difficult time with inflation and oil prices and gas prices, transport, food prices increasing. Lord, it's going to become difficult for many of us for the years to come. Lord, as the world removes itself from dependence on carbon type of fuel sources, Lord, it's going to be expensive. But Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to look out for each other in people's financial difficulties. And for those who are sick among us, Lord, we pause now to pray for many people we know who have COVID and many people who are perhaps on waiting lists for routine hospital appointments. People are waiting 3 weeks just to see a GP. Oh Lord, we ask that you help us. Help us, Lord, to look out for each other and to love and support each other at this time. Lord, these prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just say the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing What a Beautiful Name. And as we sing this song, we're going to take our morning offering. If you're visiting, don't worry about the offering bag. Don't let it put you off. We're not after your money. This is just an opportunity for those who are regular here to worship God in what we have, in giving back to him the riches which he's given us. So we'll take the offering as we stand and sing this next song.
You were the Word at the beginning.
I'd just like to say thank you, Jesus, that your words were recorded so that we can hear your voice. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed.
Thank you, Lydia. So I don't know how well you know this passage. It might be familiar to you. It may well not be. But Jesus begins his prayer here with a word that speaks of the closeness of the relationship he has with the Father. In our text, we tend to read it as Father, but it's usually seen to be the Aramaic word Abba, the word that would have been used by young children, a word that is used nowhere else in Scripture when referring to God. For Jesus has that special relationship with the Father that is, to be honest, quite incredible to behold. A relationship that carries him through everything that comes. For Jesus is very aware of what is coming. He speaks, "The hour has come." He knows what is just around the corner. And yet he does not seek a reprieve, a respite from what he has to do, but prays instead that he would be glorified. He is in effect praying that he would be consecrated afresh for the task that the Father has sent him to do. How different is that to our own sense of where we're called? Not many of us happily go to our deaths. And yet even as he makes this prayer, it's not a self-serving glorification that he seeks, but rather one that seeks to glorify the Father. For by the Son being glorified, so is the Father. And there is something deeper at work here, something that applies in some ways to all things. But it reveals what Jesus' supreme motivation is, the thing that drives him above all else. And in some ways, it's quite a simple one: to glorify God and serve him. Hopefully, we would agree the same is true of us. There's a famous line from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which some of you may know. Probably, if you're not a Baptist, you probably know it better. But it has what is, in some ways, some of the most beautiful words in the English language. For it says that our primary motivation should be to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Aren't those wonderful words? Words that speak to who we are as followers of Christ. It's our very purpose, the very purpose of our creation, to worship God, our Creator and Lord. Nothing else is right. Calvin wrote, "It is for God above all things and not for ourselves that we were created." We're not called to live lives that build up and glorify ourselves. Instead, we're called to live lives that glorify God. Isn't that radical? Isn't that different to the world we read around us where and see around us where the world seems to seek to serve itself? We live in a world where it seems to be I, It's all about ourselves. It's all about how we can become rich and famous. And yet, we're not called to that. We're called to serve our wonderful, amazing God. And yet, how often even do we, as followers of Christ, live out that ideal? In all we do we enjoy God and glorify Him? I'd be lying, I think, if I said I did that all the time. And if you do it in everything you do, can you let me into your secret, please? But we're set a challenge here, a challenge that sets us apart from the world around us. And then in verse 2 we read words that are a comfort to us. We're given eternal life through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. It's all well and good, we know that, don't we? We've all heard the Easter story a few times. Yet there's something that makes Jesus special and unique so that he can grant eternal life. If you or I died sacrificially on a cross, even with the best of intentions, we would not have saved the whole of humanity. Just wouldn't happen. Yet we read here why Jesus is able to save the world. It's because he's been given authority by his Father in heaven to do so. He's been given authority over the world. We see here the proof, the very reason why we follow Jesus today, why Jesus was able to save us from our sins. For God enabled him to. Then we're told we're given eternal life. And if I was to ask you, what does that mean? We'd probably get the straightforward answer that says we'll live forever. We're reborn into a new life when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. To be honest, you could stop right there, couldn't you? That seems quite an amazing achievement. And yet there's so much more. It's only the tip of the iceberg. For we read in verse 3 what I think are some amazing words. We are to know God. Not only has he saved us, he sent someone and a way for us to know him and get him into relationship with him. This is one of the greatest gifts we've ever been given, sealed by Jesus at Easter, to have a way of talking with God directly, not through intermediaries or through sacrifices or whatever else it might be, but directly. We don't just have to look at Jesus in this prayer and go, that's nice for you, you're a special case. You're the Son of God and God himself. And say, that's nice. It's good for you. But through Jesus' sacrifice, we are all able to as well. God wants to know us. God sent his Son through his love for us, so that he could know each and every one of us. To know God is one, if not probably the top, purpose of existence. It's what we're called to do. What do we do about that? That's the question, isn't it? We spend time with him. We spend time in prayer and thinking and praying and having a conversation with a God who wants to know us. And even as Jesus is very aware of what he's come to do, he's focused on one thing. It's often said that the imminence of death brings out our innermost thoughts and desires, doesn't it? We all know people who make, or have heard stories of people who make up with family members they've not spoken to for 50 years on their deathbed. It focuses the mind, death. But what does Jesus focus on in this instance? It's not trying to escape his fate. He focuses on what he's been sent to do. His mission to redeem the world, to save the world from itself. And his goal in all things is to glorify the Father. His mission is not yet complete, but soon it will be. His mission on earth will be completed, but the mission of his disciples will not be. It's barely even started. For we, as disciples of Christ, are called and commanded to make his name known throughout the world. That is our mission. A mission that may well lead us into places we don't expect to go, or quite possibly don't even want to go. Yet our mission at its heart is to glorify God. But it's not always going to be easy. Jesus struggles on his journey to the cross. I'm sure we'll look later, before Easter, at the story of Gethsemane, where he prays for a way out, yet accepts God's will. He still continues on to the final conclusion. There is always a slight challenge we find in this. Jesus very clearly didn't reach the whole world with his message, did he? Well, certainly while he was on earth. He spent his whole time in Palestine and Egypt. Yet he clearly did finish the work that had been set for him. We read of it in verse 4. He brought the Father glory by finishing the work that he gave him to do. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with that sense of that we haven't quite done enough to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus. It's probably familiar to many of you. And yet, in Jesus, we have an example to follow. For Jesus fulfilled the work that he was called to do. So must we. If we carry out the work that God calls us to, then we will, for want of a better term, and I don't particularly like it, but couldn't think of a better word, we will be successful, won't we? We don't have to go and convert 300,000 people. We're called to do the work that God has set for us. It's not a way out, though, I'm afraid to say. For we must still discern what it is that we're being called to. Work out what it is that God is asking us to do. And if we don't spend time getting to know God and discerning and working out what it is, then we're never going to know what our calling is, what the work is that we've been asked to do, are we? Jesus is praying for his mission to the world. In this prayer, he's praying in recognition of what it is that he's going to achieve. And so should we. We should surround everything we do in prayer. Surround our whole lives in a prayer that seeks to glorify God. God wants to have a relationship with us. I can't stress it enough. That's why I've said it about 6 times. I'll say it again. God wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And has made a way for us to do so. For we are called to worship God. To glorify him in all we do. We're called to have a relationship with God. So you've said it again. To get to know him more. And yes, we're called to reach out to the world, to continue some part of Jesus' mission, the work that he began, to make him known across the world. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus' prayer here, Lord, that it speaks to us today. Father, that it speaks to us of that sense that you want to know us. You've made a way for us to know you. Father, we want to thank you that you call each and every one of us to serve you. Father, help us to work out where it is we're being called to, what it is we're being called to, how we're being called to. And Lord, we pray that you would equip us to carry out that calling. Father, we want to serve you. We want to praise your name. And Father, we pray that in all things we would glorify you and enjoy your presence and who you are. Amen.
There's someone within here this morning that's just so burdened by a load that they're carrying. God wants to release them this morning. God wants to be their servant king. God wants to be your God. He wants you to know him so personally. He wants to be your father. He wants to connect with you so personally this morning. If that's you, please, please speak to someone at the end of the service. To Richard, to Paul, even myself. Let's let go of that burden before you leave this place this week, so that you can be free in who Christ is for you.
I also believe God's saying that if you don't know Jesus this morning, say those words that we've sung, you don't really understand how we can sing words like that about Jesus, about all the things that he's done. But if you don't know him this morning, and you really would like to know who it is that even Richard was speaking about, this person that died for you, that gave his life for you, if you don't know that person this morning, that Jesus, the Son of God this morning, then again, please speak to somebody afterwards.
I want to echo what has just been said, but each one of us this morning can pray a prayer to know God more. So let's lift up our prayers of thanks, of praise, of wanting to know our Lord and Father more.
Yes, Lord Jesus, you have done so much for us, even from the time that we gave our life to you. And Lord, you said that you knew us even before the world began, even before creation, you knew our name. And, oh, Father, that just blows my mind, Lord, but, wow, just so exciting, so wonderful. What a wonderful God that would know your name before he even created the world. He knew you. And, Lord, I just want to really thank you this morning that, Lord, the glory that you gave up, Lord Jesus, you went back to heaven. I praise you, Lord, this morning for what you did, for your amazing love for each and every one of us. Nobody is exempt from your love. Wherever we are, nobody is exempt. You will never stop loving us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When I sat down this week to choose the songs we're singing this morning, the reason why I chose Crown Him with Many Crowns was because of that third verse. Behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. One of the things about our Christian theology is that in the bad stuff of life, Jesus is glorified. We have to believe that. And I had a sense, adding to the prophetic element of this act of worship this morning, that there are people among us who are asking the question, why? Why am I going through this? Why is the world going through this? Why have I got COVID for the third or fourth time? Why does my car keep breaking down? Why am I going through these things? One day we will all see the wounds of Jesus. Because in heaven, there is Jesus who is even now glorified. But he's glorified because of the cross. And that's the theology of John's gospel, that glory comes through suffering, through hardship. So I want you to reach out this morning that, and to somehow give praise to God for the bad stuff that's happening maybe in your life. Because God wants to take that stuff and glorify him through you and through the way you deal with it and through the answer to prayer and the way you reach out for his strength and for his comfort. So reach out now in that pain you may be feeling and say, Father, be glorified.
The Lord is my strength and my defence. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is in his name.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You the glory and come to you. Father, help us to know you more. Help each one of us to grow closer to you. Amen. Brings us to an end of our service. It's been lovely to spend this time with you and with God. Just a reminder, please, can we leave in here for those who'd like to respond in prayer and so if you could catch up out in the church hall or one of the many other rooms we have in the church, that would be lovely. And I'll leave you with some words from the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.